And 2020 hit, and it went to freaking zero. I had almost $40,000 in refunds to give back. I had just left my job. This year, we'll do about 1.4 million in revenue.
This is an interview I did with Gordon Buchanan, the owner of a lawn game rental company that has done over $1 million in revenue. If you like interviews with successful business owners and learning how they built from the ground up, then hit that subscribe button. You won't regret it.
Yeah, so I come from a marketing background, which sort of led me to starting Triangle Lawn Games. And I think part of what has been successful about it is that we have a good marketing strategy. And so it was nice that I sort of learned those skills. I got a journalism degree from Indiana. I'm from Indiana. And then I worked in baseball for a little bit in promotions marketing. And then I worked for Angie's List for a couple of years doing like group coupon marketing, e-commerce marketing, that sort of thing. And that was sort of interesting. And then ended up getting a job with a communications company. And I live in Raleigh now. I'm from Indiana, but I live in Raleigh, North Carolina now. And got a job down here. And it was with a digital agency, which means they do digital marketing services, right? So websites, SEO, paid search, Facebook advertising, social media management, blogging, that kind of thing. And so I did not know that much about that stuff prior to my job. And it was Capital Broadcasting, WREL. It's a big company here that does the, they own the news station and stuff like that. So I didn't know much about it, but I learned. And that was the key to everything for me, is just figuring out how digital marketing works. And so anybody that owns a small business or service business knows that a lot of people make those decisions now based on Google and based on finding things on Google and finding things through social media. So I learned how all that worked. And we had all these clients, hundreds of clients that were doing websites. And I kind of built a specialty in website development and SEO and hosting. So there's like three infrastructure pieces I really learned and I was very passionate about and I really liked doing. And so I saw these businesses that were successful and doing well and had all these clients. And it's just so interesting getting to know business owners. As you know, it's what you do, right? With this podcast, it's like, hey, I like getting to know people and asking questions about their past, and I was doing the same. And it kept clicking to me that like I want to own my own business, but I didn't know how to do that. I felt some reticence toward leaving my job. I felt hesitance toward spending money on a business. I didn't know what type of business to do. And I think that's a big issue for a lot of people that are starting a business. So my journey toward entrepreneurship really started with buying, or being given rather, the book, The $100 Startup. And it's by a guy named Chris Gilbow. I don't know if you've ever read that. Fantastic, quick read. Anybody that's looking to start a business and doesn't know what to do, I would highly recommend it because it just illuminates different stories of people that start businesses for a relative, a small amount of money, number one. And number two, in scenarios where they typically don't leave their full-time job or they don't leave their full-time life, whether they're a stay-at-home mom or they're a, you know, real estate agent or whatever it is, it's like it opened me up to this idea of sort of the portfolio of hustle, right? The hustle portfolio, which I think is an interesting concept that a lot of people are doing now. And that led me down that path. And it was like, okay, well, what do I start? And I landed on the rental business. I just, after a few iterations of ideas, I liked the idea of renting, at buying an asset, renting the asset. Cool. That's an easy concept, right? And it's most well known with Airbnbs and property rentals, but it does cost hundreds of thousands, if not more, to buy a property rental, right? So that was an expensive barrier of entry. And I just didn't want to do that. So I ended up landing on renting a set of cornhole that I had in my garage. My brother-in-law had given us a set of cornhole for our wedding. And I was like, oh, I could maybe rent that. Maybe. I don't know. So I started Googling cornhole rental. And at least, you know, 6 years ago when I started, there really weren't that many options to do so. And I thought, man, I could own that. Like I can own that space on Google. And that to me was the thing I was looking for the most, was what can I own on Google? What can I win organically with a website? And so I just sort of landed on it. I built the website. Didn't cost me any money really. I just set up a WP Engine account. If anybody's looking for WordPress hosting, you need to use WP Engine. It's the best. And I built a website. I got a phone line through Google, like just a, you know, Google Voice. And less than 2 weeks later, NC State, which is one of the big universities here, called me and said, hey, we'd love to rent games. I'm in my office. Like I was at my job and they called me and they're like, we want to rent games next Thursday or something like that. I said, oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Oh, of course. And I found this booking software that I had got set up. We actually still use it. It's called Bookable. If you're looking to rent things, Bookable is a pretty lightweight, affordable platform that you can build on and do some specific things. And that's part of the journey too, is like learning how to build a system out. Right. But they called anyway, long story short, they called, I did the deal. I used my wife's SUV to like take the games to a park at 1 o'clock on a Thursday. And I went and picked them up after work at like 5:15 and they just left them there. And I was like, huh, that was pretty easy. Made like $150. I don't remember what our prices were at that point, but it wasn't that much money, but it was like, oh, that's pretty easy. It was like 30 minutes of work on each side. And I brought the games home and that was our first deal. And so that opened me up to like the idea of owning a business, right? So that was the first iteration of it, was this is my side hustle. This is something I can do on the side. This is something I can learn how to run a business. I can build systems. I can start to rank for this. I can figure it out. And that was the first iteration of Triangle Lawn Games. And so that has led us down another path than I thought it was going to be, obviously. And just looking at the questions you sent over, we can get into some of that too, but yeah, that was how it started, was kind of figuring out, it was that light bulb going off that I don't have to spend a ton of money and I don't have to quit my job and I don't have to do something grandiose to start a business. I just have to start. That's the thing, right? Yeah. So I learned that in that moment, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. And that's such an important skill, because it seems like everybody wants it, you know, figured out. And you know, it's really hard to start something huge right away. It's everything starts small. It's awesome to start a side hustle and not have the pressure of I need to quit my job. And I think it sounds like you were really, really early on this whole game then.
Yeah. I mean, lawn games have blown up, I think, over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years for sure. And I started without a real goal of like what it was going to be. But, you know, fairly quickly, my goal became, I want to own more sets of cornhole than anyone on earth. And that has been my driving thing ever since. That is a North Star, is like, I want to own more sets of cornhole than anybody else. And that's led me down this path, I guess. So yeah, we got in early. And I think the thing that I figured out that I'm proud of is we figured out a system like to rank for yard game rentals and what games work, what games don't, what games are really nice, what games aren't really nice, what a price point should be, what's fair, how the service should work. You know, we've now gone through years of like, this is how the service works, right? And we have a replicable system that we can put anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world, really. And I think that's been what we've done well, is just figuring out how to take care of the customer, how to do it really well, and not be too expensive, not be like, I like that people can book on our website, that if they see the pricing, there's just stuff like that we can cancel. You can cancel up to 24 hours prior. It's just like little things that I felt like the party business didn't do well. Yeah. And I think we've sort of figured that out and we've done it a different way, I guess.
Yeah. And I love that, because I was looking at your website and you answer like pretty much everybody's questions. If you have a question and you're looking to rent yard games, you answer the questions right away. And I thought that was really cool.
We just try to be transparent, right? It's just, yeah. I think so much of the party business is like, oh, well, let us know what you're looking for and when, and we'll send you a quote later. And it's like, that's fine. But most people want that quick decision. They want to be able to, you know, get it immediately. And we also just don't want to hide things. Like, we don't have anything to hide. It's really simple. You want yard games, they cost this much. Here's what you get. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a simple business, which I like as well. So,
oh yeah, definitely. So when I was, before I emailed you for this interview, before anything, I just ran across, I wouldn't say a similar business, but you know, somebody around the area was doing yard games. Yeah. I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I started looking more and more, and that's when I found your website. And I was like, wow, he's got locations everywhere. And the first thing that came up in my mind, the first question was like, how were you able to franchise something like this? How to find people, you know, across the country, all the way across the country, that are reliable and dependable and, you know, keep your quality and stuff like that.
Yeah. And that's a great question. And that's the key to everything for us, is just how to replicate. And our first key is that we are not a franchise currently. We may do that down the road at some point, but currently the way it works is Triangle Lawn Games is based in North Carolina, where we do our banking and where we're like headquartered and like, you know, that stuff. But we hire W-9 1099 contractors in all over, and then we pay them based on a rev share. So we share almost half the revenue, like almost half the money goes to our operators. And we do that because it's kind of a pain in the butt to do this sometimes, right? It's, you got to, and then we also ask them to store everything. We ask them to allow clients to come to their house and pick up games and return games. We ask them to use their own vehicle. We ask them to go pick up games late at night sometimes. And we, you know, we charge extra for some of that, but we do a rev share with them because we found that that was a way to make it fair. It was a way to allow folks to get in without spending any money. We pay for everything, but they are expected to enact these deals. And that's important to us, that we have somebody that's bought into that and that, you know, they're motivated to do a good job and to grow the business and to keep clients happy, because those clients come back, they get more business, and they get a share of the revenue. It's not some, it's not like an hourly gig where you're like, it's not Uber, right? It's not an Uber job. It's not a side hustle in the traditional sense. It's a rev share opportunity. It's an entrepreneurship opportunity for folks. So that has been our model, and it's kind of changed over time. That's the model. But the way we did it at first was, the first one was, my brother Frank was in his master's program at the University of Houston. He was a petroleum engineer, like out in the fields of like West Texas, and he lived in Mexico for a while. And he's like, he's a petroleum guy. And he was in his master's program in Houston. And he was like, dude, I want like a job, like a side hustle gig. Can we figure this out in Houston? And basically he set up like his own business down there. We set up like his own LLC, and he bought his own games, and I just built him a website, and we just sort of like shared the revenue a little bit. And Houston started cranking a little bit. We're like, oh man, like this is working in Houston too. What could we do this in other places? And so then the third one was Wilmington, North Carolina. And I had a friend who I'd worked in marketing with here in Raleigh. And he was like, dude, this seems like a great opportunity. Like, I want to do this in Wilmington. And we did it in that model too, where it was like, we set up an LLC that was like separate for that. And we were just sharing the revenue and paying him to do the gigs. And it just was a little messy, right? It wasn't clean. And then he ended up not wanting to do it anymore. And so now we've got this whole structure where it's like, we share an LLC, we share the expenses, we share everything. Who owns this stuff? Like, and it, long story short, it was messy. And I still talk to the guy, but it was just kind of a mess. And at that point, I stood back and I said, well, what's an easier way to do this? And then what if I buy all the stuff? And what if I pay people out on a rev share, but they don't own anything, they don't have to pay for anything. But if I want to change, if they want to leave, they want to do something else, they can do so, and I'll just give the gear to somebody else. Or if we don't feel like it's a fit, like we have all of our operators, anybody listening to this knows this, it's like we have failure clause in our contracts. It's like, you fail us once, stuff happens. We don't like that. Clients don't like that. Operators don't like that. But we kind of move on. We refund the client. We're going to move on. You fail us twice, like you'd miss an order or something, it's like, hey, like we're going to really look at this and figure out what's going on. And you fail us three times, it's like, we're out. Like, we're going to move on. Like, we can't fail clients. That's the worst possible scenario for Triangle Long Games. And it's not the end of the world. Typically it's just long games, but we miss an order, we hurt. It hurts us really bad. We miss one out of 1,000, and you know, we really hate it a lot. And so that was what we landed on, was like, how do we allow people an opportunity to make money and do something fun and have a side hustle? And how do we protect ourselves and our clients and make the operator motivated and make it clear who owns things and who, you know, how this process works, and, you know, any transition makes it easy. So, I mean, that's where we landed, and it's worked really well. And the next one was Austin, Texas. And so Austin was important because it was, he's our operations GM. He's a partner in the business. His name's JJ, and JJ and his wife were living in Austin, and they were looking to do this. There's a lot of people that do lawn game rentals. Like, I know that, everybody knows that, but we've tried to build something bigger than just like a local service. Right. And so JJ was looking to start his own thing, and he found us on our Houston site and reached out just randomly. It was like, hey, I'm looking to do something like this. Would you guys be interested in like telling us how this works? And long story short, they were our first one where it was like, hey, we're going to split the revenue and we're going to buy the stuff. And here's how we're going to do this. Like, Gordon will build the website. Gordon will set up all the technology stuff and we'll send you the equipment and off to the races. And that worked out great. And that was like the first start of it. And so then to circle back to like your question of how do we find folks, that has changed tremendously over the years. But it started where it was like, we just know people, right? It was like, Frank's my brother, let's do this. The guy in Wilmington was my buddy. My mother-in-law was doing it in Columbia, South Carolina. JJ reached out to us. And then JJ and May were key because then JJ has his own vision of this, which has been great to have him as a partner because he has his own. And I recommend, just as an aside, like anybody that is working with somebody and they're super passionate about your business, it's typically a good idea to maybe make it both your business. Like it can work out very well. It can be a mess, but if you find the right partner, such as JJ, it's a good idea because now he has his own vision of how to build this out. And like, he's excited about it and he's owns part of the business. So now he has much more motivation to build the business rather than just be an employee. Right. So that's our whole ethos. It's like, how do we provide at least some sense of ownership to everybody on our team? Right. With whether it's, you know, bonuses for our admin team or the revenue split. So anyway, he and his wife started like talking to their friends. They're like, hey, do you want to do this thing in Chicago or San Antonio or Kansas City? And I think that was the start of like the real expansion. Was they brought on like four or five different people that were interested in this. And I think they kept like a share of that revenue and kind of managed those territories and answered the phones themselves. And they were running it. And then their folks were doing the deliveries and stuff. And then at some point we sort of brought it all together and made it all like one thing, like Triangle Lawn Games LLC. We were doing it a little different before. And, you know, we've codified that model now where now, rather than just like people we know, we are looking for a specific profile of an operator. And that operator profile consists of proximity to population density in cities where we want to be. It's the type of housing that they have. Do they have a garage? Do they have storage? Are they able to pull things out and leave it out for people? Do they have the right vehicle? What's their schedule like? What's their, you know, freedom of schedule? And what do they have, entrepreneurial background? Like, just talked to a guy today in Miami where we're about to open up, and he's in the catering business. He has his own catering business. He's a perfect ideal candidate because he just started his own catering business. He just moved to Miami. It's like, this guy's perfect because he can just lock into what we're doing. We'll help him get leads, and then he'll meet other people in the event business. And we have a number of people that are in the event business now. We use Indeed quite often for posting those jobs, and we've sort of, you know, solidified what our job posting looks like and try to explain the real nitty-gritty details of how it works and why you might want to do this and why you might not, right? That's the big thing too with hiring, is like you gotta be truthful, I think, with people. And what I always say is like, this is a pretty sweet gig. Like, if you're working for Triangle Lawn Games, it's pretty cool, it's pretty chill, you can make some really good money, but it's never hard. It's never like hard. It's not backbreaking labor. It's not, you know, spending 8 hours out in the sun on top of a roof putting in shingles. But it's very inconvenient sometimes to have to drive an hour at 5:30 on a Friday and then go pick those games up at 10:30 on a Friday night when it might be raining or the event planner doesn't answer their phone and you don't know where the games are. It's like, it's inconvenient. It's not hard. It's just inconvenient. So that's... I'm chatting a lot about that because it's been years kind of coming together and congealing into like, this is how it is supposed to work. I think is like, yeah, we know what we're looking for and we know how to pay people and we know what games work and we know how to build out the marketing systems. And we know how to take care of the clients and follow up with people. And we know how to close the deals and we know how to pay the, you know, take in and remit sales tax for each of the individual city, county, state. We know how to set up what business licensing needs to happen in every single city or county or state. We know the insurance we need to carry in every individual place and how to send out COIs. It's just like, I support anybody that wants to start a yard game rental business. And it's totally cool if you do that. I would answer your questions and help you. It's very difficult because it's a really simple concept, but it's like any other business. you got a bunch of crap you got to deal with, right? You got a bunch of expenditures you got to pay. You got a bunch of people you got to pay. You have to sometimes raise prices when you don't want to, because you're like, we need to like pay our bills, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it's an easy concept and it's a simple business, but it is like any other business. It has its complications. And we've just, you know, we've worked through a lot of that stuff over the years, and we're fortunate that we're where we are because we've been able to just keep at it, I guess.
So customer wise, so do you kind of like use localized SEO to bring in your customers?
Yeah, I would say the major part of our marketing strategy is local SEO. And so where I've landed on that is that we have our primary website, trianglelawngames.com,
mm-hmm.
and you can do everything you need to do, book whatever for any location there. And we have individualized pages, we have individualized blog articles, we have resources, we have all kinds of stuff on that site. And then I have also built out individual domains and websites for each location. So that for me has proven to be a successful marketing technique, is to build out individualized websites for each location, and then have individualized Google My Businesses and individualized Facebook pages. And that little blend there seems to work pretty well from a local SEO perspective. So like, you know, if you look at like Lawn Game, let's see if it actually works. Lawn Game Rentals, Denver, let's say. You know, denverlawngames.com is 1, 2, and then trianglelawngames.com for the Denver page is number 3. So it's like we own the top 3 spots for Lawn Game Rentals in Denver because of those strategies and because of our historical domain authority from our content strategy. I mean, we build a lot of different content. We try to be useful to people building out different event spaces in different suburbs, or, you know, different types of games that you should be playing, or, you know, just parks in a city for outdoor parties. Like there's stuff like that's SEO in a nutshell. It's like be extremely useful to people, right? And so it's that simple. Like if you're ever looking, this is just another, I don't read like a ton of books, but there's like a few books that have been really important to me. And Utility by Jay Baer, Y-O-Utility by Jay Baer, is one of the most extremely helpful and simple to understand books in the history of marketing, in my opinion. And it's all about just be useful to people. Like it talks about, this was a seminal story for me. It was Pampers. And my wife is expecting our first baby in 3 weeks. So it's becoming much more of a story that I'm thinking about now, because it was about Pampers trying to figure out how to be helpful to parents that were on road trips that needed changing stations. And so parents would ask Pampers like, hey, do you know where changing stations are? Or they were trying to find it. And Pampers said, well, what if on the Pampers app, we offered the ability for people to plug in a route and see all the different changing stations on that route, and then they would go out and find changing stations. So I think they had a team of people that like went out and, you know, found where changing stations were, plugged them into their app, and then allowed people to connect with Google Maps and see the route where they had changing stations. Mm. And I was just like, that's so brilliant, because that's the stuff that people actually need. And so, you know, that led me to like free downloadable cornhole tournament brackets, or we have a Nerf guide that, you know, it's like, hey, 25 pages on how to run a Nerf party, or we have all these rule guides for different things. We own part of a landscaping firm in Indiana, Anthony's Lawn Care and Landscaping. If anybody needs any landscaping, I'm just a silent partner basically. And we built the marketing stuff for them a long time ago. And one of the things that just drove so much traffic was weed identification guide. So we went through and looked at all the different types of weeds that might grow up in your yard, right? And we identified them, found pictures of them, wrote a brief description about them, and then wrote a care instruction, like this is what you should use to get rid of this, and then put it on the website. And it drives a ton of traffic because it's useful, right? Yeah. So that's my ethos from like a marketing perspective, is how do we be useful to people? And we do paid search. We started that this year, and it's very effective. I mean, we have a really good paid search manager that does a good job. We do Instagram advertising. We're looking at some podcasts and paid audio stuff through networks, you know, network based, you know, DSPs or whatever. But
And so do the people that you partner up with, do they advertise at all?
Yeah, so they do. Our operators are given sort of like a starter kit of things. And it's super funny to think about, but one of the most effective ways we market is yard signs. And you think about a yard sign, it's very service specific to me, because if I see a yard sign for a plumber or an electrician or landscaping, I'm probably not going to remember them. I might think, oh, I need landscaping, and I might snag a picture. I have done that in the past. I'll snag a picture of their phone number. Yeah. But I don't always remember, and I don't always see it, and I don't always think about it. So I see that it's a roofing company, but I don't always know who the roofing company is, right? Mm-hmm. So yard signs, less effective there. Where we've found that they're super effective for us, we just have yard signs that say Yard Game Rentals in big block letters. And I think we put the website at the bottom, but nobody's going to go to the website. It doesn't really matter, because all I want to do is, we do not struggle with brand awareness as much as we do service awareness, right? So a lot of people don't know you can rent yard games.
Mm-hmm,
once they choose to rent yard games, Lawn Game Rentals Denver, you'll find us. And Denver's cranking right now, and we're busy because rank well. But we need people to think rent lawn games. And so that yard sign is really effective for that. It gets that spark. I'm like, oh, I can rent yard games. Cool. And then they go to Google and they find us, and then we have good pricing and reasonable rates. And, you know, we take care of people and we have good reviews. It's like, oh, yeah, cool. I'll choose them. That's effective too. And so the operators, to answer your question, are in charge of putting up those yard signs around their city. And we run into, you know, certain city ordinances and things like that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we're just trying to run a business and let people know about our service. So all of our operators are different. It's funny too. Like, all of our operators are different people, like everybody. And some of them are just here to do the orders that we send them, and that's fine. Like, we don't ask them to necessarily do a bunch of different marketing stuff. We would love if they're out, you know, traipsing through event venues and meeting event planners and going to networking meetings weekly, and that kind of stuff would be great. They're not all going to do that, because we're not explicitly paying them for that. We're paying them a revenue share. So if they did that, they would get more business. And we have a few, like, I'll shout out our guy, Austin, who is in Oklahoma City. He is one of our older, you know, operators. He's actually one of JJ's folks that he pulled in. He's I think his wife's cousin married Austin. I think that's how Darcy and May are related, but he's awesome, man. He's just like all about it. And he's just constantly going to things and like putting up stuff on his social media and meeting people and constantly espousing the benefits of Triangle Lawn Games. And that's awesome, right? We love that. He's an awesome dude, and we want to help provide whatever he needs, but we don't expect that necessarily, because that's not what they signed up for. They signed up for us to give them leads and business, and then them to transact that business. And that's totally fine. So it just kind of depends. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's awesome too, that like, if they want to, they can, they are incentivized, you know, if they push more business toward themselves, it helps everybody kind of. And I put in the questions, but I didn't ask. Do you mind sharing a little bit about revenue?
Sure. Yeah. No problem. So this year we'll do about $1.4 million in revenue. Top awesome. Line, we're still in growth mode. So we are not talking about like 30-40% margins, right? You know, we're not there necessarily, but that is our goal long term, is to be at about a 30% margin.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to at some point slow down our buying of equipment and growing and setting up new locations and marketing and all this stuff. But I mean, that's our average order is about $250. And so, you know, we do on average, I don't know what that would be. You know, if I could do math real quick. So it's like, divided by 250, that's 5,600 orders a year. That's about right. 466 a month. We are seasonal. So actually, it's funny, like this month, June and July are kind of our slower months because it's so hot. It's just so stupid hot, and no one wants to be outside. And so we don't do as much. We don't slow down to nothing, but we did in COVID, like 2020. And that was the scary thing, is like, that's a whole other podcast, is like being a party business during COVID. Like I had just left my job, and like, it's a whole thing, but it's our average order value. And we do have some additional, if you know, we're talking about, like, I love the business breakdowns podcast. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a great podcast, and they're always like, all right, so what are some other opportunities for revenue? And it's like, our big ones now, like we own, I think we are starting to own the space of yard game rentals, right? Like, we want to be the best, we want to be the most affordable. I mean, not necessarily the cheapest, but like the most affordable, right? Like, for what you get, our cornhole boards, dude, are so nice. Like, we have the best cornhole boards you can get. And for us to like, to be able to rent that set of cornhole boards for $40 or so, we think is very fair. And so it's a really nice set of boards. It's a really nice giant Jenga. It's really nice Connect Four. We have nice games and we focus on that. So we're not the cheapest, but we think we're the most affordable, like fair price. But the other opportunities we see are, how can we become more of a hub for all party business and kind of, you know, take other industries, other parts of the party business, and sort of apply them to our model, right? And create opportunities for other side hustle folks in cities to, you know, kind of jump on our model. So for example, two of the things, we have a partnership with a party artist company called Wowzers. And Wowzers is great. They're run by this guy, Sean, out of Denver, who's really sharp. He's out of the tech world as well. And he's this sharp guy that knows how to build systems. And we just were simpatico. And so now we are able to offer their services kind of nationwide, because he's got a nationwide vendor network as well, kind of a similar deal. And we're able to offer that through our platform. So we can close business there and help clients kind of have a consolidated, you know, communication and contact and invoice and payment process. So that's good for the client, right? It's good for Wowzers. It's good for Triangle Lawn Games. On that same note, like, we just have a new partnership in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia with a company called WeGo Golf, which does mobile golf simulators. And so we're able to book those mobile golf simulators. And we just booked our first, we just did this and we booked our first one yesterday, I think it was. And so we're excited about that. And it's like, oh, cool. This is like a new thing. We do custom cornhole. We do custom games. So we've found vendors for these types of things. Like, our cornhole folks make really nice custom cornhole. So ultimately, it's just, we're trying to be, we want to own lawn games, right? We want to be the best at lawn games because that's our niche. That's our thing. But as we grow our systems, if we build a piece of software, how does that piece of software allow other vendors to tie into our order process and our client base and our sales process and our team, and, you know, help those clients get other services that they might want in an easier way, and help those vendors that are preferred partners transact more business? So that's stuff we're working on right now to grow, because at some point we're going to cap out on yard games, right? Like, yard games are a limited market, I think, and they're a good market. I don't think we've really scratched the surface, to be perfectly honest. We're not in tons of markets, but we do see that at some point we will cap that out, right? And we want to grow like any business, but we also just want to, I think, be more helpful to people. Like, that's what we're all about, is like, how do we be helpful to our clients? And I think being able to have really good partners and vendors doing other services and a consolidated system of booking those things would be really helpful to them.
I think you're right. I think you have just scratched the surface, and especially since your client base and customer base, because there are so many companies out there that are just not that, and they do terribly, and people wonder why they don't work out. Well, I think that's why, for sure.
Right. That's big. We try to answer the phone. We give free, we give our refunds back on time. We like do what we say we're going to do. It sounds super simple. You're like, why would businesses do that? But they don't. They just don't. So we try to do what we say we will do and treat our clients well and treat our operators and our team well. And, you know, we feel like that's going to work out for us.
Have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
No, definitely not. There was a good period of time where I really liked what I did as like an operations manager at a digital agency. I enjoyed that. And I thought that my path was to be at a big company and to run a team of people. And I liked, but what I found was I liked the building process more than I liked the piloting process, I think, right? So I would rather build the ship than drive the ship sometimes. And I find that this allows me, and this business is mine. I can do whatever I want, right? So I like that I can now do what I want, and I get to work on stuff that is more building focused and new relationship focused. And I, you know, kind of that mixing it up creative spirit thing rather than driving the ship as much. I don't mind being a part of driving the ship and but I've got a team that can help do that, right? And I think they're more jazzed about doing that some of that stuff than I am in terms of like day-to-day questions and payroll and taxes and stuff. It's like, I'll do it if I need to, but if I can focus on like new services and software and sales strategies and processes and new technology and meeting people, like that's the stuff I like. And I've realized that that's what entrepreneurship is in a way, is like, it's about creating something from nothing. Right. And so that's the part that I like the most and that I've realized this allows me to do. And I'm a musician. I like doing art. I like creating stuff in general. So for me, this has allowed me to do that. So no, I didn't always want to do it, but it led me down this path, and I've codified my spirit of doing that business creativity more and more and more as I've gone along. So
I always like to ask this question because, and you can answer this as good, bad, ugly. And you shared a little bit already about like COVID. You had a really rough time with COVID. Maybe you could share a little bit about that. Do you have a memorable experience?
Oh yeah, there's some interesting stories. To speak on COVID, let's take ourselves back to 2019. So I left my job as a ops manager, making really good money. Really, I had just gotten married in 2018, and I left my job at the very end of 2018 because I was like, you know what? I'm not happy. I don't want to do this anymore. And I it was like, having the business kind of growing made me unhappy in some ways too, because you're like, oh, I have this other thing. And I just wasn't focused on either one of them. So I left my job. And 2019, I was like, I'm all in. Triangle Lawn Games is my thing. And I worked my ass off. I was driving games all over North Carolina and beyond. We were growing other locations. We didn't make a ton of money because we were just growing and we were figuring stuff out. So I was like, super, super excited at the end of 2019, because we had a pretty good year. I think we did like $300,000 worth of business or something like that in that second year, across a few different locations. And we're like, man, that's awesome. This is so cool. This is a real business. Mm-hmm. And then 2020 hit in, you know, March, and it went to freaking zero, man. Like I had almost $40,000 in refunds to give back. So it was like money. We take the money in before, we gave all the money back, because that's what you do. Like, at least that's what I do. And so we gave all the money back, and there were no orders. And I'm fortunate. My wife has a really good career, and we were fine. Like, financially, it was not a heartache, or it was not a actual heartache, but it was, there were like 2 months there, March and April 2020, where I was just drinking beer at like 10 a.m. and like, I took a music class on how to do music production, you know, online. And I was just messing around, doing nothing. And I was sad because I was like, man, my business just died. And like, what's going to happen? So, you know, hindsight's 2020. I think it's but we could have made different decisions with all that, and it would have been better for a lot of people. Obviously, there were a lot of decisions to be made. It really hurt our business, but long view, like looking back, I'm like, it was good in some ways because it made me realize what I can do to grow the business. It allowed me to have time to work on like the websites and content production and, you know, how to set up this infrastructure a little better. It made us, you know, feel how fortunate we are when we do get orders and like how we got to treat clients, because shouldn't take that for granted. Like, every single order should be important because that person's giving us money to do something for them, right? And we can't take that for granted, that individual, this is really important to them. It's I think with big businesses, as they grow, it's easy to sort of forget. Oh, you know, it's easy to just like step back and be like, oh, we had 6,000 orders and an average of this order. But like that $220 order was like, that was Janet over here, and she had a really great event. Or, you know, yeah, this person had a bad event. Why did they have a bad event? Like, we got to fix that. So try to keep those individual customers at the forefront and our individual operators at the forefront, while also looking at the big picture, I think is what it helped me do anyway. Yeah, we've had some crazy stories. So we don't lose games off. We don't, like, nobody steals from us. Nobody steals lawn games. It just doesn't really happen. But what does happen sometimes, and two of them have been in Chicago for whatever reason, like I don't know why, but every once in a while we'll have somebody that just won't return games or like won't pick up their phone. And like, yeah. So I remember one a couple years ago, I was on vacation with my wife's family in Charleston, and we're like playing tennis. And then I go and look at my phone in between rounds, and I've missed a bunch of calls. I think it was from JJ actually. And so JJ, I call him back. He's like, dude, hey, somebody's like, won't give our games back, or like they won't bring them back, and they say we got to go get them, but it's like 2 hours away, and it's like far south side of Chicago, and our operator won't do it because she doesn't want to go there. And so we had to like pay some dispatch delivery driver like $400 to go get these games, because it was worth more than the games would have cost to replace. It was like a bunch of games, so we paid this guy. And that was just a weird scenario where you're just like, you sort of have to just make stuff happen sometimes. Yeah. You know, we have some of those where like an operator will back out of a deal every once in a while, and like those operators don't last very long on our team, but you know, we have to like call somebody else or find a friend or just, you know, figure it out, because like we got to make the order happen, right? Like that person paid us money, and regardless of whether or not we're going to make any money on it, we got to make it happen, in my opinion. So we always try to do that, and there's some interesting stories like that.
Mind me asking a little bit about your day-to-day. I ask some people a lot of times because I think there's misconceptions about what an entrepreneur's life looks like. It might be people think it's glamorous or this and that. And really it's just a little, you know, little steps that are every single day, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think any entrepreneur, any business owner is going to struggle, I think, with just choosing what to do with their time sometimes, because no one's going to tell you what to do with your time, except maybe your clients who need something, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have a job, when you have a regular 9-to-5 working for someone else, they're typically going to tell you what needs to happen. And, you know, they might give you leeway or give you rope or whatever, but you gotta do what they say to do. With this, it's like, I gotta choose what to do and I gotta figure out what to do. So my life, I guess, has gotten a little more glamorous over the years, but like it started out real unglamorous, where it's just like, I'm building every website and I'm writing every blog and I'm taking every phone call and I'm putting together every quote and I'm sending out the payment links and I'm making sure that we got paid and I'm paying all the sales tax and I'm loading the games into my truck and I'm taking the games when they need to go, or I'm pulling all the games out and putting them out for the client pickups and I'm counting all the game pieces and I'm making sure that we don't lose things. I'm making sure we have things. Oh crap, I forgot that slider for this Connect Four. I got to drive back to my house and go get that. And you know, I've done every element of this job, right? Yeah. And over the years, my job has become much more, I build the websites. I am in charge of the inbound marketing. I hire the paid search person. I interface with our graphic designer. I am the one that I'll jump in on an interview with a new operator after, you know, Sarah and JJ have kind of talked to him and they're like, yeah, this guy's cool. Like, let's talk to them. Mm-hmm. I have to build our Philadelphia website. I have to build our, you know, if we get Miami rolling, I got to build that. I'm working on Giant Jenga, or no, excuse me. I'm sorry, Pocono and Associates. It's not Giant Jenga. It's Tumbling Towers. I got a nice cease and desist multiple times from Poconobin Associates out of Santa Barbara, California. And I am not calling it Jenga. That's not what this is. It's Tumbling Towers, I promise you. So we are making Tumbling Towers. And thank you, Poconobin Associates. I've had to find different vendors for our Tumbling Towers because, dude, you cannot find nice tumbling towers that are 10.5-inch 2x4s, well sanded, stained, sealed with a Minwax with a stand. You can't find them. They don't exist. Go online. If you can find it for less than, you can't even find it. I'd pay $400 for it. I can't find it. It doesn't exist. So we've had to make those, and we've made 150, 200 sets. I don't even know how many sets we have. We've made all these through a variety. Like, I've made some, my brother's made some. We've had other guys that we've met through like Facebook make some. I finally have a repeatable system, I think, where we have this wonderful group of people here in Raleigh called Gabby's Pals, and it's people with special abilities. It was started by a woman named Mary, whose daughter Gabby has Down syndrome, and like they basically, she couldn't get a job. And so they started this company doing packing, labeling, and shipping. And I just thought of them randomly a couple weeks ago, like, wait, wonder if they could do this. And they are amazing. They're just like sanding away and staining away, and the games look amazing. So I'm so happy about that. And that's the stuff I spend my time on now. It's just like, how do we move this forward? You know, how do I set up a system, and I build all the automations like with Zapier and, you know, Google Calendar and Gmail and all that stuff. That's a big part of my job too. But the stuff I really like is just like making connections with people and what big lever breaks the dam. You know what I mean? Like that's what I try to do now, is like pull the lever that breaks the dam. And so, you know, I'll answer the phone sometimes. I'll send out quote requests sometimes. I'll answer questions, and I do cornhole tournaments a lot. I love doing cornhole tournaments, and we've started figuring that out and figuring out how to scale that. And I think that's a huge part of our business, is being the experts that can run a cornhole tournament, have all the equipment, show up. All you need to do is give us power and a list of names, and we will run a cornhole tournament for you. And awesome. You know, I figured that out, and so I do that still. So that's the stuff I spend my time on. And for anybody starting a business, it's not easy, and it's not going to be easy day one. Look, if you've got $5 million to just start a business, don't start a business. Just put it in the stock market and get dividends and don't work. You know, that'd be sweet. Yeah. Or buy an existing business, buy 6 car washes. Good for you. Go for that. But if you're building something from scratch without a bunch of money, it's a slug. It's a slug, man. It's hard. You're going to have to work through it. You're going to have to rely on people to help you. You're going to have to take out loans sometimes. You're going to have to ask your parents for money. You're going to have to eat ramen. You're going to have to do all kinds of stuff you don't want to do. But if you just have an actual good idea and you take care of your customers, the business will take care of itself. Like, you'll figure it out. Like, if customers are coming in and you have a service people actually want, you'll figure it out. So that's what we've just tried to focus in on, and do a good job for people and figure everything else out.
And that really answers my question, your advice for other people. And yeah, it's yeah, take care of your customers, have something that they want to buy, and you'll figure it out. Awesome.
That's exactly right.
Awesome.
I mean, systems are important. I would recommend anybody having systems and like using Zapier and, you know, setting up a, like, you know, you set up a good LLC, get a good bank, like a good bank, get a good accountant, pay your taxes. Like, there's all kinds of stuff, but yeah, it's take care of your customers. Have a service people want, and go from there.
As my last question, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the readers, with anyone watching this, about Triangle Long Games or anything coming up?
I will share that I really am excited about Triangle Long Games, but I'm excited for anybody starting a business. And I would just tell anybody that if you have an idea, the thing that you have to get over is starting. You just have to start. And that's the key. So anybody that's hesitant to start a business or trying to find the right idea, just land on something and try something out and build a website. And like, your website is your best employee. That's the other key to this, right? Is your website is your hardest working employee, and they work 24/7, 365, right? They never take a break. They don't stop unless they break, you know, but start something and figure out how to build your own website. That's a really good skill to have if you're starting a business. And just do it. You just try something and go from there.
Awesome, dude. Well, hey, I appreciate you doing this interview.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing everything.